made a New Year resolution? Or how many are still keeping that resolution?
Trying to.
Trying to. My first New Year resolution was to put off doing things. I'll decide on the rest of them tomorrow. Anybody, don't put your hands up, but anybody thinking of or has given something up for Lent, I wonder? And how many think they may go the distance? Lent, it's in the Latin, it's quadragesima, and it means 40th. It began last Wednesday, which is known as Ash Wednesday, and it ends approximately 6 weeks later, 42 days later on Good Friday. And it's designed to prepare you, the believer, for Easter Sunday. Now, this preparation is done in various ways. Some people like to do prayer. They do something called mortification of the flesh, a repentance of sins and giving alms and self-denial. Now, this mortification of the flesh means giving something up, fasting, and something called pious kneeling as well, remaining on your knees for long periods of time. Sackcloth may be worn, and hair shirts. So you wouldn't have learnt this if you hadn't have come this morning. Methodist Church, particularly the early circuit riders, were known for practicing this mortifying of the flesh. John Kenick, the first Methodist itinerant preacher, he prayed 9 times a day, he fasted, and fancying during Lent dry bread too good for such a sinner as he began to feed on raw potatoes, acorns, crabs, and grass. Matthew Henry, who lived around the Rhine at the same time, and this is my rough translation, by using yourself to consideration, you will come to be aware of the snares that your spiritual enemies lay for you, of the snake under the green grass. Lovely that. And under the green grass. And you will not be opposed upon too early by many of the wiles of Satan. A Catholic priest called Michael Geiser said, self-denial helps to conquer the insidious demons of softness, pessimism, and lukewarm faith that dominate the lives of so many people today. Some churches, if they have an altar or they have pictures around the church, they will cover these with purple cloth. There will be no flowers in the church during the period of Lent. Purple, because purple in olden days, and indeed today, represents kingship. Purple was also very expensive as a dye to make. It took over 10,000 mollusks to dye a small handkerchief. So it was very, very expensive. And as we've heard from Rachel, that Lent is often a period when people abstain from meat and meat products. And the fast is broken on Good Friday with fish. My mother always served salmon on Good Friday. And my brother and I had to eat it because it was expensive, even though we complained that she was paying mostly for bones. Mind, we did have the promise of a simnel cake on Easter Sunday. Now, if you don't know what a simnel cake is, my mother always used to bake one. It was a very rich fruit cake, sandwiched inside it was some marzipan, and there was more marzipan on the top, and it was all decorated, and my mother always used to put a little yellow chick in the middle. Well, there were some small Easter eggs on it. It was a cholesterol bomb. But the word Lent actually means spring season, as Rachel had mentioned earlier on. It's all about spring, and Lent in Dutch means the same today. Shrove Tuesday, as Rachel mentioned, is traditionally a day, even in our largest non-Christian country, for pancakes to be eaten. This is actually on the instructions of the prophets of Tesco and Morrison's that we should eat pancakes on that day. The reason for it is that all eggs and fat products had to be used up before Ash Wednesday. And on Ash Wednesday, it is a tradition in many churches for believers to have the cross marked on their forehead using ash. And that ash would be from the burnt palms of the Palm Sunday the previous year, just as a remembrance. Now, are we commanded to give up something for Lent? Well, no, we're not. But it's not just for Lent. Paul writes in Colossians 1, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on heaven or on earth, making peace by the blood of his cross." And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. You are presented holy and blameless. So Paul is clearly holding a really high value in Christ's redeeming work. He doesn't believe that suffering is of any benefit, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't give up something for Lent if we want to, because Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. And he said, "It serves to increase my living knowledge of Christ." And that is the most important point. If you choose to give up something for Lent, you do it to increase your knowledge of Christ. Equally, you could say we do not need to give up something to remind us of Christ's works. Personally, I need that prodding. I really do need that prodding. So I have given up a luxury for Lent, and that is washing the dishes. No, please don't laugh. It's tough. It's tough, but I'm getting there. Now, these disciplines can be seen where Jesus says in Matthew, he says, "When you fast, do not be somber like the hypocrites, because they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they will have their full reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be obvious to men, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." In terms of fasting, the Catholic Church are very careful about this. They say that you should only fast if you're between the age of 18 and 58, and that is health permitting as well. I heard somebody say yes then. Jesus says, when you give to people in need, when you pray, when you fast, he assumes that you will do this at some time. And as follower of Christ, it might be part of your life to choose these sort of disciplines. It's your choice. I can't say whether you should or not, but Jesus makes one central point here. If you do them, don't ever do them to prove to yourself how spiritual you are, or how other people might think how spiritual you are. Any form of self-denial is hard. Giving up something that you used to enjoy for a period of time is tough. But one thing suits one person, one thing suits another. So, why is it 6 weeks? Well, as Rachel said, this refers to the 40 days. Yeah, I was sat there thinking I might just as well stay there. This refers to the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. Now, the figure 40 has some significance in the Bible. After crossing the Red Sea, the people of Israel were led into the wilderness for 40 years. Moses fasted for 40 days and nights before he went up the mountain to receive the tablets of the law. And after the Israelites sinned and set up their own idols, Moses fasted for a further 40 days and nights prior to asking God forgiveness for the people. And the wilderness often features in the Bible. King David fled into the wilderness and his son chased him there. Elijah, after the great event when the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel were defeated, he became frightened of Queen Jezebel and fled into the wilderness. John the Baptist lived in the wilderness. Now, Jesus chose to isolate himself, to prepare himself in the wilderness. What for? For his ministry, for his forthcoming ministry. And he knew he was going to be attacked. That 40 days out there is a blueprint for your life as a Christian. You might feel secure and comfortable in this building, a place, and perhaps for an hour we can forget about all the troubles and besets us. But we know full well we've got to return to that wilderness. When Elijah was out there, he got really low, but God fed him and looked after him. Why? Because Elijah had so much more work to do for God. And you and me are Elijahs. We falter. We stumble. We step outside the boundary stones. We give up the battle consciously. We give it up unconsciously. Day on day, we trip up. I find myself occasionally walking across a piece of carpet and tripping on nothing. Does that happen to you? I just trip on nothing at all. There's a lot of bits of carpet out there that you can trip on. And they're unseen. Even the best fail and continue to fail. Exhaustion overcame Moses. Fear of Jezebel overcame Elijah. A woman's bare shoulders drew King David's eyes. Jesus' clear defeat to Satan in the wilderness that we read this morning was a defeat, and it should help and encourage us, all of us. It's true we're not as strong as Christ, and we do give in. We do give in, don't we? But Jesus says, yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, I have power over Satan's craftiness. Yes, I am stronger than any one of you. Yes, even the great will stumble, but you can overcome. And you can tackle Satan. We take comfort in this reading about the wilderness because it makes clear that the best possible Lent has happened. And Jesus has carried it out. Any fasting we do will not change this. It will remind us of it, and that is a good thing, perhaps. Is it perhaps not essential in our busy, busy lives? But it doesn't change anything. Christ's fasting and temptation is more complete than any of us can imagine. If there had been another way to do it, a fuller way to be tempted, a fuller way to suffer, then Christ would have done it. Now, Jesus' ministry was short, possibly no more than 3 years. It started effectively when he came back out of that desert, when he came back out of that wilderness. His time in the desert was set between the Jordan River, where he was baptized, and the time when he entered the gates of Jerusalem for the last time. You know, you might not think this applies to us, but it is very important. Between coming a Christian and our death is our time in the wilderness. The moment we step out of this building, we're walking into a wilderness. It's a place that's ravaged with sin, indifference, aggression, and even hatred. And if you think of the church as an oasis, remember that even weeds grow in oases. And we're not free from the work of Satan the moment we walk under the heater at our front door. Our faithfulness needs to become Jesus' faithfulness. And oh, I wish I could do that better than I do. But one more thing, and perhaps the most important point. During Lent, as Rachel said, We ultimately, and she was quite right, we ultimately are looking forward to what? To Easter. Our faithfulness needs to remember that. Easter is a gift. It's not a reward. Easter will come, and not because we've been very good during Lent. This is good news. Because sometimes even 3 days in our self-control, it falters. We may have already lapsed or relaxed. Jesus became the leader for all God's people. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But even Moses, David, and Elijah faltered. Jesus was obedient and faithful. The lady called Amanda Jobs who said, it's not just about giving up our favorite food for Lent, but it's going further and giving up things like hatred and unforgiveness, and I've added a few more, indifference, impatience, irritation, anger. And she goes on to say, you need to clean your heart and prepare yourself for purity. Now, you might not need to give some luxury up. You've got that choice. It's not compulsory. It's entirely up to you. But there's one thing none of us should give up. During this Lent period, can I urge you to consider daily, if nothing else, what Jesus went through in the wilderness. He went out into that desert, and that spiteful, that cruel, that brilliantly clever, that weaseling voice was whispering in his ear, if you are the Son of God, make those stones into bread. You're hungry, aren't you? Just imagine biting through that crusty loaf and the warmth of the yeast inside. If you're the Son of God, why not jump off this temple? The angels will save you. Worship me, and I'll give you all of this. We're not just bow the knee. It's easy. You get our voice whispering in your ear? Tesco's are doing a good offer this morning. Why not spend a bit extra on Sky? You can watch more people shouting at each other. Go on, it's only a little bit extra. The DFS sale is actually ending on Monday. You need that new suite. That time for Christ in the desert was a preparation. It was a preparation for the greatest and most significant period of ministry that this world has ever known and will ever know. It's a ministry which culminated in the greatest and the most significant sacrifice that this world will ever know and will ever need. Pope Benedict XVI, he was Pope for 2005-13, he said the following, Lent is a time of going very deeply into ourselves. What is it that stands between us and God? Between us and our brothers and sisters? Between us and life, and life of the Spirit. Whatever it is, it changes from a man doing good in order to defeat the temptations of the evil one. By penitence, by thinking of our Lord, we will be able to celebrate Easter in truth, ready to renew the promises of our baptism. So whether or not you choose to go down the path of self-sacrifice during Lent, what is important is how we need to consider the next 36 days should be used. And we should consider the solemnness of where our calendar is leading. Our calendar leads from the fasting, the temptation in the desert, the highs and the lows of ministry, the ignorance of the disciples, the self-aggrandizement of the disciples, their self-seeking, the rejection of the disciples, the questioning, in Gethsemane, the betrayal and the despair on those bare poles on a windswept hill outside of Jerusalem. And as the clouds darken and the centurion changes from a man who was supervising a routine execution to one who wonders what he is witnessing. And the curtain of the temple is torn in two, and the ground ripples underfoot. And strange things are seen in the city. We as Christians have that wonderful benefit of hindsight. And we know that that tomb is only temporarily closed. Amen? Amen. And may that be your journey through Lent. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we want to draw close to you. We want to understand more about what went on in that wilderness. But more than anything, we want to be prepared for looking forward to that gift, that great gift of Easter. Nothing we earned, but it was all free. And we pray now for these next few weeks, Lord, that we would consider you and consider all that you have done for us. We praise you for that empty tomb, which we look forward to. And help us now, Lord, to walk better than we have done, knowing that we do stumble. And help us to keep on those, inside those boundary stones, that you could say, well, well done. You did your very best, O faithful servant. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good.